Welcome to Amnesty International's comedy podcast series. This year, Amnesty's had exclusive backstage access at two of the biggest events on the comedy calendar, the 2014 Edinburgh Festival Fringe and the Balham Comedy Festival in London. We'll be bringing you a series of interviews with some of the greatest stand-up comedians working today, and along with finding out about the business of laughter, we'll be chatting about life, politics, and human rights. Tonight, we go backstage to chat to stand-up comic and sitcom star Tim Vine. He'll be revealing his secret pop singing career, his thoughts on England's World Cup exit, and how to perfect a very long goodbye. Tim Vine?
It's an absolute pleasure to be. We're in quite a dark room here, but
it is
I really like that.
Balham Comedy Festival. Thank you very much for joining Amnesty International.
It's a pleasure.
And you spoke to us last year, along with Terry Alderton.
With young Terry, yes.
And I have to tell you, that was our most popular podcast.
Is that right?
Yes, so thank you for joining us on that.
That's the power of Alderton. This rattling noise here, viewers, listeners, that's ice in a glass, just so you know. I'm just every now and again drinking ice in a glass.
You've just come off stage, haven't you? So it was very hot, I imagine.
It was, yeah. It was very hot. Yeah.
And how did it go?
It was all right. That was all right, yeah. I need to learn it better and cut some jokes out.
I thought it was great.
Oh, well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, Tim. That's amazing.
Everyone enjoyed it.
Good, okay, thank you.
And the new show's called
Tim to you.
That is easy for you to say. Yes. So can you tell us a bit about it, and are there a lot of Mary Poppins puns in it?
No, none at all, really. There's a few chimney jokes at the top, and then that's it. I've done this sort of thing before where I did a thing called Punslinger, where I came on dressed as a cowboy. I did 10 cowboy jokes and never mentioned it again and just did just other jokes about stuff.
There are clips of you on the internet dressed as a cowboy.
Yeah, that's from Punslinger. Yes, yeah, exactly. But not talking about cowboys.
Yes,
No. You have to get to the very beginning of the show for that, where I say things like, I'm wearing cowboy lingerie. The silky bras are on me. Listen, yeah, I've got... I'll start with the cowboy jokes. I've got 7 and the magnificent...
So you're taking the new show up to Edinburgh.
Yes.
Can you tell us what
Don't play... remind me. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Do you know, we've done 6 previews this week. This is the 6th one in a row. And I would say 4 have been acceptable. 2 not entirely acceptable in my eyes.
Well, you've got... How many days are you playing? 20?
24. 24. There's going to be some stinkers amongst that lot.
And can you tell us what it's like for... What Edinburgh Festival means for a comedian like yourself?
Well, I mean, the great thing about it, I think, is that it's... well, there's several things, but it's very sociable for a start. There's so many comics up there and so many different shows and things that you just go up there and you all kind of... a lot of the time during the year, you pass like shits in the night a little bit, but whereas at a festival, you're all there for a month, and so you sort of meet up with people and have a drink with people and a chat with people. Every conversation starts the same. How's your show going? It's all right. How's yours? You're a bit quiet tonight. Yeah, so am I.
You see Terry Alderton up there?
Yeah, we always see Terry. In fact, unfortunately, I don't think he's going up this year. I don't think he is. Or maybe he is. I don't think he is. Let me put this down. I'm sure this is annoying to listen. It's the ice making a noise. We did the Melbourne Comedy Festival together a couple of times. And it's now a bit of a tradition between us that if we say goodbye to each other, we always like to do it on quite a straight road. So as we're walking away, at certain points, he'll go like that, and I'll turn round, and he'll be like 300 yards away, and we'll wave again. And then we carry on and see how far away we can go and still keep turning around and waving to each other.
What's the furthest you've got?
Miles. Particularly in somewhere like Melbourne, there's quite sort of long blocks,
it's the grid system.
Yeah. So you can really see someone a long, long way away and do this wave at them. It amuses us, you know. You've got time in your hands when you do these things.
And I've noticed you're quite a regular tweeter.
Yeah, I tweet a bit. Do I tweet too much?
No, I enjoy the free puns you give away, actually.
Right, yeah. Well, I don't do much of that. I tend to sort of... I just tweet slightly random stuff sometimes.
What do you think the best and worst aspects of Twitter are?
Well, I think that... I'm slightly distant from probably some of the bad things because I can't see people's responses. I text my tweets in, so I don't... you know, I just you text a number, send them in, like blind tweeting.
Right.
So yeah. I'm sending these things out into the ether. Now and again, I'll look on a computer and see what someone said. But I think probably the bad thing is when the whole sort of trolling thing, when people kind of, you know, someone decides that they want that you're the person they want to say nasty things to. I haven't really had that.
Yeah, and you've
much.
Had to
once in a while you get the odd one, but the good thing is that you can say things and people hear them. And let's concentrate on the good thing.
And you've had to call yourself the real Tim Vine, so I imagine there's been impersonators.
Yeah, again, I don't really know much about who else is on there.
Right.
Someone else set that up for me, so I'm not entirely sure. I don't have the internet at home. I'm slightly out of the loop.
And
I prefer it that way.
Since the last time we spoke to you at Balham, you have acted in the second series of Blandings as Beach the Butler.
I did, yeah. That's now finished, though. As in, that's been axed, that series.
Oh, has it?
Yeah,
oh.
It's not coming back ever again.
But will there be more acting on the horizon?
Well, I find acting on the horizon is a lot easier because they don't really see your facial expressions. I'd like to do some more acting. I'd like to maybe do some films or something, or I'd like to do my own film, really. I want to be the star of a film. I've started dreaming again, Tim.
Anything in particular, any genre?
I've got a few different film ideas. I did one where I sort of filmed a film just that I pay for myself kind of thing, just vanity project. That wasn't the name of it. It was called Library Altitude Zero, and I played a airline pilot because I wanted to wear the costume.
And where can we see it?
You can't see it anyway. I've got some copies in my loft, and I make some of them available at the end of a gig.
Oh, okay.
But by and large, it's when I first made it, I hired a little cinema in Soho, and the Curzon in Soho with about 80 people, got 80 of my friends and forced them to watch this thing, hour and 20 minutes, Library Altitude Zero.
You should put it out there, get it on.
Well, it's, you know, I don't know, it's not a gag fest, it's a little story, which is what appealed to me about it. I didn't want to do this, because I'm in my act, I'm slightly tied down to, you've got to be saying jokes all the time, you know. Whereas this, I felt like I wanted to tell a little story.
Well, I would love to see it.
I shall send you, if you give me your address, I'll send you a copy.
Excellent.
Because they're going to melt in my loft room, I tell you. It gets hot up there.
So I've got a quote for you now.
Yes.
And it's something you've said recently.
Oh.
And can you tell where it's from?
Okay, probably in my mouth. My mouth, I thought it was quite funny. I've got a quote from you. Something you said recently, can you tell where it's from? And I said, probably my mouth. And just at that very moment, someone came through the door and everyone's attention was taken
I
by
know,
the person
I'm
at the
sorry.
Door. And the joke sort of fell off. I reckon the listeners might have enjoyed that more than everyone in the room, because they didn't get the visual of, oh, who's coming in this room here?
That is the beauty of being live backstage. You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, it's not the beauty, it's slightly annoying, actually.
So the quote, anyway,
gone
is, I may be alone in this, but I can visualise the cup in Rooney's hands and the team tearing up the FA's long-term plans.
Yeah.
What was that from?
Well, that's from my a silly World Cup song thing called No, Mr. Dyke, where I sort of was saying, well, why... I wasn't mad. I was being... This is as edgy as I get, actually, to be slightly critical of Greg Dyke for saying that we should wait a few World Cups before we do anything. And I was like, no, this is my only... I'm the only team I'm supporting, and I haven't even got a club. So if you don't mind, I'm going to hope they win this one.
Well, I really enjoyed it. It's you running around in a yellow wig, singing your heart out.
Yeah.
So how do you feel now that England are out early?
Well, do you know what? What amazes me about England is they seem to find new ways to disappoint you every time. It's the variety of ways. It is the variety that gets you. I thought to myself, well, we've had everything now after the 2010 one. That we've been totally beaten, we've been thrashed, we've lost on penalties. And in 2010, we got a new one. It was an injustice of the ball being over the line, it wasn't given, and we were then thrashed. So it was both at once. We were then thrashed. And this one, I don't think I even considered the possibility we wouldn't make it to the third group game.
It's crazy.
I never even considered that. I never considered I wouldn't be able to watch the third group game.
Well, the song was
and
very
think
confident.
To myself that... I mean, it was... What but could they possibly... They can't do any worse than that next time, can they?
No.
You can't be out before... After the first group game, unless everyone bites the officials or something and they're all out.
You'll have to do a new song for
for the Euros, Mr. Blatter, whatever his name is.
So in your show, you're still punslinging, but I see you are broadening to more music, which I do love.
Am I? What, this, is there more music in this, you think?
Yeah, more. Well,
maybe so, yeah. Mind you, I don't know, if you my some of my sort of other hour-long kind of DVD things, there are kind of... Is there someone trying to tunnel out of this room? I can hear noises.
I mean, the Metronome song, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. That was a while ago, though. I think it was 2006, that.
That was it?
8 years ago.
Well, my question was...
How old were you 8 years ago, if you don't mind saying?
8 years ago, I was 21, I think.
Oh, okay. You look younger than you are. I thought you were going to say 16.
It's
because you're in complete darkness.
But I was wondering, have you always been into making music?
Yeah, I think I wanted to be a pop star originally. And I still make... A bit like the thing with the Library Altitude Zero thing, is that I do record lots and lots of songs, and they don't see the light of day. I've just recorded an album of high-voiced disco songs. So they're sort of in the mould of, you know, cross between sort of Will Young and the Bee Gees sort of thing, you know. And the first song is called Dance Floor Gridlock.
You're too close, you're too close, you're too close, you're too close. We're in dance floor gridlock.
Goes like that. I've got an album, 16 songs with me singing like that.
I love it. Where can we find it?
Again, nowhere.
It's not available.
But I've also got an album of talking songs that I've recorded, which I think I'm going to call Angus Crunch and the Nepali Flautist, 12 Tales from Another World. And each one is like a little sort of moral tale, and me talking in a sort of cold American accent for some reason. So there's a bit of music in the background, and then each one starts like this. There was a man. And they start like that, every single one.
And is that for your ears only again?
Nobody's heard that one. Actually, it's not quite true. I played it to my mum, and she said, who exactly is this aimed at, darling? Which I was thinking of using as a quote if I did release it as a CD. Who exactly is this aimed at, darling? Tim's mum. Or Angus Crunch's mum.
And I read that you were in a band with your brother Jeremy.
We were in a few bands, actually. We were in a band called The Sharp Suits. We were in a band called The Killer Sons. We were in a band called The Flare Generation.
What did The Flare Generation sing about?
Flares. Every song was about flares. It was in the 80s when everyone was wearing very much drainpipe trousers. There was no distance between ankle and trouser. The whole thing was drainpipes. And so we had songs like Happiness, Happiness, Happiness is Wearing Flares. And we had... This is the Flared Revolution. Was it? No, this is the Flared Generation. Drain pipes are out of fashion or something. Yeah, and then there was another one. Here comes the Flared Revolution, providing a drain pipe solution. We are the Flared Generation, providing trouser inflation. We're the Flared Generation, trouser inflation. We're the Flared Generation. Then we had... My baby left me and she said, Flewell, my dear. Flewell, my dear. There's a flare is in all of them. It's a whole album as well. No one's heard it. Oh. No one. Again, we had a tiny bit of success with the Flare Generation because at the time I was 17 and my brother was, I guess, 18 or a tiny bit older. And do you remember the 6 o'clock show with Danny Baker and Michael Aspel? Do you remember that? You can't remember that, surely.
I can't remember it.
You're 38. Sorry, I was talking to someone else in
the room
now. The producer in the room, yes. Again, it's a very, very poorly lit room that these people are actually... I'm actually in the presence of pensioners, but they've done the lighting very well. So we were on that show. And Danny Baker came to Cheam because we'd done this, you know, I don't know, we'd done a few gigs or something. And I remember he did his piece to camera and he was walking through Cheam Village and he said... talking about fashion and stuff, and then he ended the piece with, meanwhile, here in Cheam, something very big is blowing in the wind. And then it cuts in me and my brother with our giant flares, and our friend Simon Williams as well, and we were walking down, and we had different names. Jeremy was Kevin Evans, I was Justin Beams, and Simon Williams was Wilma Cooper.
So what did Jeremy play in the band?
Well, he was kind of, he was sort of the lead singer for a bit, and then he was the drummer for a bit, And then Wilma Cooper was sometimes the drummer, and then Wilma Cooper was sometimes the singer. So probably most recently, when we did, out of the six gigs we ever did, Jeremy was the drummer. And okay. I played, it was a really bad sound actually, because it was drums, a full drum kit. And then I played a acoustic guitar, quite sort of thrashing it quite angrily. And then there was like three voices singing over it. There was no bass in this thing whatsoever. So it was like, you know, it was really quite terrible, really.
Talking of your brother, Jeremy.
Yes.
He's a well-known political presenter
yes.
for shows like Politics Show and Panorama.
Yep. I wanted to do a show called Panorama, but that never happened. I've been in meetings before where I've given up asking now, but I said to people, I've got a great idea for a show. You put it on at the same time as Panorama on a different channel. So the PR writes itself, I'm his brother. and it's called Panorama, right? And then around the desk, they would say, that's great. And what happens in it? And I go, well, never mind that. Look at the title. Who knows what happens in it? Panorama, you tell me.
No commission?
Nothing, no. Oh. Not a sausage. I'm Vine Thanks didn't work either.
But will we ever see you talking about politics in your act?
Well, if I'd have let you ask that question, I could have done all that stuff about Panorama then, couldn't I? Perhaps you could edit that question in after.
No, don't.
The producer's nodding. Leave it natural. Leave it naturally as it is. But no, I don't really do much comedy. Do much comedy tonight. But no, I did. I did. I ran for Parliament once. I had to. I missed the bus. The biggest laugh I've had in this building tonight.
but you enjoy political comedy?
Yeah, I enjoy all sorts of comedy that's different from my own, actually, it's true, because, in fact, watching someone doing one-liners is not my favourite thing to do, really, I don't think. I like it, sometimes I like it, but I don't always. I like people like Paul Foot, do you know Paul Foot?
Yeah.
Which is just, it's just completely bonkers, isn't it? I think he's hilarious. I mean, I love Milton Jones, but Milton and Stuart Francis, we're the three of us are sort of slightly mining similar areas comedically, a little bit. So, although we all get on very well, I don't think we necessarily think to ourselves, we must go and watch each other's acts, you know.
Yeah, well, I suppose if you're at the Edinburgh Festival and you've just seen loads of satirical acts, you're kind of the perfect antidote.
Yes, maybe, yeah. And equally, if I've just done my acts, I want to go and see something a bit different, yeah. You're right, Tim. You're right again. These specials are all right. Do you know that? Anyway, sorry, yes, Tim.
So obviously Amnesty International is a human rights movement.
What?
But human rights have...
Well.
Human rights have taken a bit of a battering in the tabloid press recently, particularly the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what human rights mean to you and why they are important?
Well, do you know what? Human rights are obviously important. We're on this little blue globe in the middle of absolutely nowhere. That's how I've always thought of Balham. No, but we are, aren't we? We're floating through space. And it is utterly ludicrous that anyone does anything bad to another human being. I mean, just wars for a start, if I could get slightly hippie. I mean, it's totally bonkers, isn't it? There's nothing anywhere near all of us. Nothing. And the variety on this planet, absolutely unbelievable. Giraffes. Stag beetles. Now, that's two ends of a scale I want to know about. I mean, that is incredible, isn't it?
It is incredible.
I find it a bit... I'll get back onto your question you've asked me, because I do understand this one. Admittedly, I've forgotten it, but I do understand it. No, I will get back to it. But I had a joke, actually, which I think I may have tweeted a long time ago, where I say, I find it a bit hard to believe that everything came from one animal. I realise that setting the pigeon amongst the pigeons. Huge laugh. Move on. Now, yes, so are human rights important? Of course they are. And one of the great things about Amnesty, of course, is you do actually go around the world and see all this, the human rights, the problems of where human rights are denied people. We are very closeted here, and I am the most, look at me, I'm dressed like a cricketer, wandered in here with a Coca-Cola. I hardly look like a man with his finger on the pulse. Although there were moments during that act where a guy in the front row, I nearly put my finger on his pulse. So my point is this. My point about human rights is that we are shockingly insular in this country. And I consider I consider myself to be absolutely insular. I've been to Ethiopia once actually, but that's the nearest I've got to going to somewhere third world. Most of the time you go somewhere, you go to the holiday destination of it, you know, so you don't really know about something. So it's terrible. You do read some terrible things about people who've been denied human rights in some of these countries. There's no puns there, incidentally. Ask me another question. I'm getting too serious.
Well, this is the last question.
Go on, then.
How long have you been playing here at the Bedford?
Well, I first came here in probably 91 or 92. So a very long time. And they used to do, they probably still do it now, actually, they do the upstairs room and the downstairs room, and they do them both at the same time. You go on first in the up in the downstairs room, last in the upstairs. So you do two shows in one room, you know. Not one room, two shows in one building. And the first time you do that, when you're starting out, and you do 20 downstairs and 20 upstairs, and they both go well, and then someone gives you a bit of cash and you drive home, it's a lovely feeling, you know. Early on, and I'm sure a lot of comics would say this, it's a real sort of, you know, I look back at pictures of myself, the fresh face picture downstairs, for example, and there's been no break between when I started doing this job to here I am now. And okay, I don't mean I do have the occasional holiday, but nothing very long really. So I look at that person, I think that as I'm directly connected to that person, yet it seems like he's sort of completely different in a way. I just know how much I loved it then. I still like it now, viewers, but not in the same. It was the beginning of an adventure.
I see.
Do you know what I mean? So when you start something, it's great, isn't it? Do you play darts, Tim?
Only occasionally whilst drunk.
Oh, you have that in common with the professionals.
But you are a big dance player, aren't you?
Cheers. I tried to lose it. It was mainly around my tummy, but I thought I was holding it in. I love darts. To me, darts is like life. You get a shot at the double. Will you hit it? And there we are.
Well, Tim Vine, thank you very much for joining us.
It's been an absolute thrill. May I say, or may I, perhaps next time, you bring a couple more light bulbs. In a way, I know why there aren't that many light bulbs in here, because I think Amnesty is using them to shine a light on other important issues elsewhere. Oh, look at that! It's perfect!
Excellent. Well, Tim, thank you very much. Great way to end. If you're interested in learning more about human rights or joining Amnesty International, then please go to our website, amnesty.org.uk, and make sure you don't miss our next episode. Here's a sneak peek.
I always look like a gatecrasher at my own gig. The security and the commissionaires and the backstage people, they don't know who you are. And so you might have sold out a venue, and then you're just walking around backstage looking a bit like you don't belong, and then someone will challenge you, and you don't want to have to say, I am the turn. So I usually just start running.